Guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in on the late night tip. Today's show is brought to you by OxyWellness.com. To experience the natural benefits of what CBD can do for your health and well-being, check out a new product called CBD at Oxygen Wellness. This is the THC-free friendly product, and it will address ailments like pain, inflammation, stress, and much more. You can also get on the distribution side of the game by getting involved and starting your own franchise today through the Oxygen brand. You can follow them on Instagram at OxxWellness, or go to their website at OxyWellness. That's OxyWellness.com. Ladies and gentlemen, so everybody pile up in the room. We're going to have a real good, heavy conversation on tonight's broadcast. So I want y'all to let everybody know that we're live. We're doing it. Get you some popcorn. Go take a pee-pee real quick or whatever you got to do. And we will be right back right after these messages.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You need to get your Second Amendment game up right now. That's why you need to check out my friends at RedStoneFirearms.com. They are a black-owned gun training and gun-selling operation, and they have two locations right out here in Southern California. They have one in Burbank, and they have a location in Ontario. So get your Second Amendment game in order. Get your gun training in order. Go to RedStoneFirearms.com right now. Also, check them out on Instagram at RedStoneFirearms. Check them out on Facebook at RedStoneFirearms. So get your Second Amendment game up right now with a black-owned company, RedStoneFirearms.com.
I want to empower you with some knowledge. Yeah. Read a good book and I got it. By Neil K. Marcellus. I could tell you all about it. The Tower of Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman, a Letter Series. Yeah. I want the whole world to hear me. These are the principles of self-mastery. You were in control of your own path and your own destiny. I know this for sure. So many things that'll have you questioning. Recognizing deception. Yeah. Make sure that you get the book. Hey. Once again, I just had to mention it. Yeah. The Tower of Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman. That's right. Of Letter Series. Yes, indeed, I highly recommend. Hey. Make sure that you buy it. Make sure that you get it. Written by Neil K. Marcellus. Hey. The Tower of Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman. That's right. Of Letter Series. Yes, indeed, I highly recommend. Okay. Make sure that you buy it. Make sure that you get it. Written by Neil K. Marcellus. Hey. Make sure that you get it on Amazon.com today. The Tower of Becoming a Lady or a Gentleman of Letter Series.
Ladies, are you looking for a 100% natural hair product that stimulates growth and provides all-day moisture and promotes healthy hair? Then go to BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com because they present Natural Spaces. That's a plant-based hairline that includes hair oil, hair wash, hair balm, hair conditioner, hair detox, and hair mist. Order the complete package just for $75, or you can build your own package. To place an order, go to BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. Also follow them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs. Listen up, family. On Code Clothing is officially the uniform of this black empowerment movement. We've empowered so many for so long. Now it's time for us to make our empowerment the new global trend. On Code is a brand that's exclusive and it's not for general consumption, you dig? You gotta be codified to even appreciate this thing of ours. So get fly with OnCodeClothing.com and don't forget to use the coupon code HC5 at the checkout to save an additional 10% when you purchase two or more items. The discount is limited, so take advantage while it lasts. Go to OnCodeClothing.com. Yo, family, there's a new podcast you need to check out called Black Wall Street Chronicles. Black Wall Street Chronicles is hosted by Jeffrey Frazier. He's an up-and-coming comedian who's paying homage to his great-grandfather who comes from Durham, North Carolina. You can follow his podcast on iTunes or Spotify. There are new episodes every week. For new episodes and for more information and to check out the podcast website, go to blackwallstreet.buzzsprout.com. That's blackwallstreet.buzzsprout.com. Check out the Cookie Confidant. These are some delicious cookies from a black-owned cookie company down there in Houston, Texas. The Cookie Confidant's motto is you deserve premium. And with that being said, all of their cookies are made with high-quality ingredients. I've had these cookies myself. They are delicious, delicious, delicious. You need to go check them out on Instagram at Cookie Confidant. And also check out their website, CookieConfidant.com, and order you a batch right now.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome, welcome, welcome to Tariq Radio Late Night Edition. Glad to have the late night Melanoid family up with a playa. You know how we do on the late night spit. I hope you guys have your HC5 DVDs at HiddenColorsFilm.com. All my foreign brothers and sisters, you can get it on Amazon at we'll just go to Amazon and go to Hidden Colors 5, or you can go to Hidden Colors Film and you can hit that link. We have a link that goes to Amazon if you are overseas. If you're overseas, if you are in the military as well, if you have an APO address, something like that, that's considered overseas. So you gotta get yours from Amazon, because when we get these different types of military addresses and foreign addresses, there's all types of clearances and things we have to sign, and there's always issues. So to make everything go smooth, we'll just have you get it off Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm glad everybody's getting the film and enjoying the film. It's going to be available for stream pretty soon, and I keep you guys posted on that. You know, I rarely promote my books. I always talk about all this other stuff, and I rarely promote my books. You guys can still get my books, The Art of Mackin. You get that on Amazon, The Art of Gold Digging, The Elite Way, all that stuff. And I'm bringing my books up because I saw that my book, there was a list in Kansas. In Kansas, there was a big controversy over a bunch of banned books. They banned a bunch of books from the libraries and the prisons in the whole state of Kansas. It was like 7,000 books that were banned, and my books were on that list. They had my ass on the list. And it was The Art of Mackin. So yeah, they had that on the banned list. They don't want prisoners reading that. And this was recent. Now, I found out that within the last couple of weeks, they just lifted that ban because I think there were some other books by other major publishers. And, you know, that's kind of unconstitutional. Yeah, it's very random. It's very random. But, you know, it was just straight out censorship. They didn't really give a reason why they were banning all these books. So I think there was a threat of lawsuits probably from some of these publishers. So they just lifted that ban. But that was random as hell. That's random that they had me on the ban list for The Art of Mackin. You dig? You know what it probably is? It's like, you know, a lot of cats in prison, they read my books and they're introduced to me through my books. I always run into dudes at like Hidden Color screenings or whatever, and they say, man, I first got hip to you from your books, or I got hip to you in prison. I always get that. So, you know, they're very meticulous about what brothers are getting a hold of in the prison. Even something as non-threatening. The Art of Mackin is not a threatening book at all. It's kind of a fun book. I wrote this shit 20 years ago. And what happens is if somebody reads that book, then they're going to start doing some more research on me, and then they're going to start getting into the Hidden Color stuff, and then they're going to start listening to this stuff. So that's the problem. So that's very interesting. Yeah, censorship is real. I'm getting banned all over the damn place. See, that's why I got to move a certain way. You dig? They banning me from countries, banning my books from jails. Like, damn. You know, but this is why we got to keep our ears and noses to the streets, because they understand that there's a new wave of knowledge and information, and that's a threat to the dominant society. It's a threat to their power, that we, people like us, we can influence people, we can influence decisions, we can influence whole movements without the approval of the dominant society. See, that's a problem. And when they try to use their propaganda with all their billions of dollars, and we can counter that, they really look at that as a problem. Especially, and I talked about this before, when the dominant society, the entertainment industry, when they try to put out certain movies and then we give it a yay or a nay, that really affects a lot of things more than y'all want to believe. Like when we start calling out these Gods of Egypt and Exodus type movies and the silliness of it, you know, that has a ripple effect. You know, people hear that. And that has an effect on the box office. We set trends heavy. And I talked about this the other day. I met a sister on the plane not too long ago. And she worked at a few major corporations. And she basically told me she worked in the department where they basically, there's a whole department that sits up and monitors what black people do on the internet. She just told me straight up and down. They sit up and monitor everything we do to find out what the hell the new trend is going to be. And they wait for the wave to come through and start getting products ready for the wave. It was some deep stuff this sister was breaking down. I mean, there's departments that sit up and just monitor our online activity. They sit up and, yeah, analytics. They sit up and just watch what we do. They monitor what we do. There's whole departments for that. You dig? So they don't want to say stuff like this publicly. They don't want to talk about how influential we are in. They don't want to say this publicly. This is some stuff behind closed doors. They know this. They know this behind closed doors. You dig? So if they tell us this in large numbers, we'll start saying, okay, let's utilize that type of power for ourselves, for our own benefit, which is what I do. I know my folks, I know the waves, I know the trends, and I utilize that for the benefit of the community. You understand? So it's heavy. And again, we can make and break certain things, like that new Harriet movie that we've been talking about for the last few weeks with that Cynthia Erivo, that Nigerian, British Nigerian actress who's said a lot of real slick stuff about foundational Black Americans. Her and her friend, she's besties with that Lovey chick. You know, we've exposed Lovey several times with her anti-Black American Akata talk. So she's besties with her. This Cynthia Erivo, she has a zaddy. So she's said little slick stuff about Black society. And they have this woman trying to play Harriet Tubman. And many of us, we've voiced our concern and disapproval of that. We've voiced our disapproval of that. Because she doesn't have the spirit and the respect for foundational Black Americans to play a Harriet Tubman. And see, this is a thing that we're going to start being more vocal about. You getting these non-foundational people to play Black historic figures, because what happens is they don't live the lineage, so it's not the same spirit. That's why, again, I brought up Selma a few weeks ago. Selma didn't resonate with Black people in America. It just didn't. We didn't feel that. Selma was a movie for white people. Selma was horrible. It was a horrible movie. You don't remember anything from Selma. The star of Selma was the Edmund Pettus Bridge. That was the star of the movie. You don't remember nothing else in that damn movie. And with this Harriet movie, some of the early critics, I think they did a screening out there in Toronto, and the critics are giving it the business. They're like, this thing is boring, is bland, is generic. I mean, they're clowning. Now, on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, it looks like they got some of their industry critics that's really on the payroll to kind of give the movie props. But so far, some of the real critics are not really feeling the movie. You dig? So we're not shocked. We're not surprised, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what else is in the news? Earlier today, I posted a story from Anchorage, Alaska. I think it's in Anchorage. There is a swim team, and you have these little mulatto girls. One little light-skinned Black girl. Her mother's a light-skinned Black chick. I think her dad must be a zaddy. But little light-skinned Black girl, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to call her a Black girl. She's on the swim team. She won the competition, and the white female official, after the Black girl won, the white female official disqualified her and her win by saying that her swimsuit was inappropriate. So they use the I'm white and I say so rule on this Black girl. And there was a controversy about it, and people were still on code to a certain degree. A lot of people were ignoring the racial element of it because she's like the only Black girl on the swim team. She's a very excellent swimmer. And this shows you how these people get on code. Now, they know this is a racial thing, but they talk all around it. They were like, well, they're body shaming her because they're talking about how curvy this girl is. And she's not, she's like the average teenage kid. But the way they're talking, they're saying stuff like, well, she's more voluptuous than the other swimmers, and they're body shaming. They're trying to make it seem like she's fat, and she's not. This is a way for them to go around the racial element of it. This is a way they're going all around the racial element. They're saying stuff like, well, she's more full-figured than the other girls on the team, and they shouldn't shame her for being more full-figured. There's just nothing about this girl that's full-figured. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Everything to avoid the racial element. This is what they do. Whenever there's a Black kid winning something over the white kids, they always get the I'm white and I say so rule. It's the clothes. He wasn't wearing their hair right. It's always something. And they, the white supremacist woman, when they get around those little black girls, they've always had this very venomous relationship. When you get these white supremacist women around young black girls, no matter what shade, light skin, dark skin, whatever, because we can put, there's people like, man, she ain't black, she mixed. Well, they discriminated against this woman, this girl, like a regular black person. So how different was that form of discrimination if she was light or dark or whatever? See, we play that game if we want to. And I'm telling you, because she's very light. If her hair was straighter, I mean, she has kind of full lips, tan skin. If she was a tad bit lighter and her hair was straighter, she could almost pass for white. She's one of those kind. And let me tell you something. Those are the ones that they are very cautious about. They are extremely cautious about those type of black people. They're very hypersensitive about those types because they can sneak in those white genes. And from what I understand, they've been complaining about this girl before because she's shapely. You know, black girls, they develop and our babies are beautiful. And they were talking about how her outfits will affect the boys and all this stuff. So they don't want this woman being competition for their white sons. These people are real funny style about that type of stuff. You understand? So we can't rationalize with white supremacists. That's the thing. And if you have children who can understand the game, like I taught my daughter about racism at a very young age. I would explain. My daughter was a little radical kid. Yeah, when I got through with her. So she knew the game. But we have to teach our children about racism and how it works. You know, right now they're sharing this story about, there's a meme video of some little toddlers. It's a white toddler and a black toddler. And it's a short video clip of them running up to each other. They haven't seen each other and they hug each other. And the dominant society, they're parading this video around. They're showing this video around. Even so, the right wing white supremacists, they're showing this video talking about, oh, look, racism is taught. I mean, nobody's born a racist. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, look at this racial harmony. Trying to give the impression that this nation is not run by a bunch of white supremacists. Look at these babies. Look at how they love each other. See, that's the narrative that they're trying to put on this film. But understand, they did the same thing with that, with the Hart family, with Devontae Hart. They had him out there hugging cops and all this stuff, but we knew what was going on behind the scenes. And with this black child hugging the white child, when you look into what else is happening, this child is adopted by two white men. I knew something was up. I knew something. There had to be more to that situation. Because number one, I knew one thing. They don't show black children who are raised by black parents. They rarely show them in a positive light for any reason. So I already knew something was up right there. Whenever you show a black child just randomly in a positive light, you don't do that with a black child with a black family. Nah, you don't show black families in a positive light. Remember, I put up a meme the other day, well, a few weeks ago, where somebody on Facebook put up a meme of a black man, black woman, and a black child. It said, "Black families matter," and Facebook flagged that and took it down. Facebook took that thing down and said that was a violation of terms of services. They're not going to promote a positive black family. That's the last thing they're going to promote. With all of this LGBT they're trying to batter us with, I knew for a fact, when I saw this black kid, I said, there's no way he has a black man and a black woman as a mama and dad. I already knew. The way they were sharing that story, I said, uh-oh. Let me see what they're trying to Trojan horse in. They never show black children raised by black parents in a positive light. It's always a black kid who was raised by a mixed family or a foreign family. They'll do that. They might do that. A Caribbean or an African family, they might do that. But a black American family raising a child and showing the child in a positive light, they don't show that. So I said, this kid must be adopted. And sure enough, he was. And you got to look at the subtle message there. A black child should be celebrated and praised if we, the dominant society, get a hold of him and we screen him and we take control of his life. That's when he's acceptable, because that means we're going to buck break him. Can you imagine in a couple of years this child is going to be in a dress and some flip-flops? Can you imagine what they're going to do to this kid? And I have no bones having contention about people in the dominant society adopting black children. They have too much of a bad track record with black children. Their track record with black children is horrible. Black children are easily taken away from their family for any little minute reason. If the parents are on drugs or the mom is on drugs, they immediately take the kid. But you got white women out here on all types of heroin and opioids, and they never get their damn children taken. But the black family, they get their kids taken, just like the Hart family. And the black family were trying to get the Hart kids back. And they were giving them all types of hell and wouldn't let the kids go back to the regular extended family. Because understand, we know how to take care of our children. Black people, we have extended family members who we can have take care of our children, but they want our children in the foster system because there's money in that. There's a gang of money in the foster system and running black children in and out the foster system. Understand this. That's a prepping place for the prison system in many cases, if we want to go there. But you know, they get these black children, you get them in foster care, these white families adopt them, and they can do God knows what to these kids without consequence. They can get away with doing anything to these children. I've seen so many cases where they done left a kid in the car, and the kid died, and nobody, the family didn't get arrested or nothing. So they can do, the system of white supremacy allows them to do things to black children. And I have a problem with that, and you should have a problem with that. So I don't get all warm and fuzzy when I see people in the dominant society parading a black child around, because I know their track record, and they don't have a good one. You understand? And another thing, black people, we got to stop trying to rationalize with white supremacists. You can't rationalize with them. They try to attack us and they give us all of their contradictory talking points. You can't rationalize with them. Somebody sent me a documentary. It's about Corbin, Kentucky. It was made in 1991. And it's a short documentary. It's a very interesting documentary. And it reminded me of all these white supremacists I grew up with when I was living in Leeds, Alabama. These irrational, funky, dirtbag white supremacists with their rotten teeth and their white supremacist views and their just completely asinine, irrational logic. You know, you can't rationalize with these folks at all. I want to play a small clip from the movie where, Corbin is this town in Kentucky where they ran all the black people out in the year 1919. It was like 200 black people there working on the railroad. And just like they did in a lot of other cities, they ran all the black people out and they turned the place into a sundown town. And that's where Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken, by the way. Harlan Sanders, who, you know, many people have said that he stole that recipe from black women, which he probably did, because they were working on the railroad up there. And a lot of black women would make chicken and they would sell chicken along little rail stops to workers and passengers. So most like he got that chicken recipe. This is Harlan Sanders was a businessman. This dude worked in gas stations. So he was a businessman. So how the hell did a businessman learn how to randomly make some damn chicken? So, and by the way, that whole thing, he wasn't a real colonel. That whole outfit, speaking of KFC and Colonel Sanders, he put on an outfit like a plantation owner. If you look at Colonel Sanders, he's dressed like a plantation owner. That was his whole thing. Because he's out there in a white supremacist ass Corbin. So his thing was to dress like a slave owner. So that outfit that he wears is the a slave owner outfit. So, but I digress. But Corbin became a sundown town, hardcore white supremacists. No black people lived there. I don't even think black people live there now. So they kept black people out for years. So this is one of the white supremacists in the movie talking.
I had a dog growing up. Show you a picture of him. Black, white feet, white throat, little white tip on his tail. I loved that dog. That dog knew when I was going to service. He knew when I got in trouble. He knew when I was phoning home. He'd come up, lay on the porch, and look at the phone. And it'd ring if it was from me. He'd bark like wild, make sure somebody answered the phone. You know what his name was? Nigger.
And that was your dog?
That's right. I loved that dog. That wasn't no bad name. That's because he was black, shiny, pretty, muscular. Come on, nigger. You see? I wasn't using it in a bad way.
Now, this is how these folks think, man. Yeah, my dog was named Nigger, but I didn't use it in a bad way. I mean, damn, come on now. That's why I smash on these folks. I don't sit up and try to rationalize with these idiots. These folks, white supremacists are idiots if you really look at it. They are morons. And trying to rationalize with them, that drives you crazy. That's why so many black folks are crazy as cat shit. Understand, when you start getting clarity on certain things, you'll understand the game. See, they like to keep up confusion with their irrational, hypocritical logic, because it's all about domination. See, we got to understand that. See, black people, we're taught that white people are our saviors. They are the end-all, be-all. They are the all-knowing. The white supremacists are psychologically just all over the place. And then trying to follow their logic, it makes you psychologically all over the place. But they do understand one thing. The name of the game is to dominate you no matter what. Dominate you by all cost. And see, this is why we end up losing, and we fall for every trick bag they throw our way. You understand? This is why with this election cycle, see, we have to get smart. We got to get majorly on code. Because they have us doing things that directly work against our own interest. And when they can do that, they're going to keep winning. Now, out here in LA, I live in LA. We got a major homeless problem in LA. The homeless problem in LA is ridiculous. Black people in Los Angeles are 9% of the population, but we are 40% of the homeless population. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. We have the highest percentage of homelessness in this city. Skid Row is full of black people. And I go around the country and I see this, all these homeless black people. And we're putting ourselves in positions, or we're being put into positions, because we're trying to prioritize everybody else except ourselves. Not just white gentrification. That's not the only problem. Another problem, studies have shown, it's the gentrification of immigrants coming in. Again, we've ignored that immigrant thing for a minute. The immigrant thing, that gentrifies us too, especially in LA. When you out here, black folks out here fighting, talking about black and brown, and then you fight for immigrants to come and undocumented immigrants to come. When they come, they displace you and move you out of the damn neighborhood, and you ain't got nowhere else to go. You're helping to bring in the people to displace you. See, we think black folks, we already have limited resources anyway. So we got this kumbaya ass mentality that we're going to share our already stretched out limited resources with all these other ethnic groups, who's going to turn around and be appreciative of us sacrificing ourselves for them. And they're going to do the same and help us when we're down and out. And when we get down and out, they turn their backs on us and don't do nothing to help us. None of these groups help us. They spit on you when you're on Skid Row. We better understand that part of the game. And we out here sleeping in alleys and shopping carts, waiting on a kumbaya return to come through. It ain't coming through. We gotta stop being the kumbaya people. We have to be rigidly exclusionary. That's just what it needs to be. Stop being afraid of a reprimand from the dominant society and others. They're going to reprimand you anyway when you own your ass. We got to stop playing with that. We got to prioritize. We have no choice but to prioritize things for foundational black Americans. We can't cape for nobody. We can't afford to. We can't cape for anybody. And this is why the white LGBT community, with the help of the dominant white straight society, this is why they are orchestrating this big buck-breaking campaign against foundational black Americans. Have y'all noticed how much black people are being attacked by the white LGBT community, and they're using their Negro surrogates, their eunuchs, to do it? Let me break the thing down about eunuchs. See, for a long time, not just during the Ottoman Empire, but many Arabs and Turkish empires and rulers, they would always get black eunuchs. You know, they would conquer a black land and turn the males into eunuchs. And what they would do, a eunuch is a man who's castrated. They castrate the man and have the man working as a servant. Once this castrated servant got next to the ruler would tell the servant all types of stuff. The ruler would tell the eunuch a lot of the secrets, a lot of the ins and outs of the political game. The eunuch would always be dressed in very gaudy, elaborate clothing. And if you're looking at the screen now, I have an old image of a black eunuch from the Turkish Empire. I think that one is from the Turkish Empire. But, you know, silk, gold. I mean, they would really have these eunuchs dressed very elaborately. They would parade them around. Like, look at my servant. This person is doing my bidding. They love parading these castrated males, black men, around. These once powerful men. And one reason they castrated them, number one, to dominate them. They dominated their culture. They castrated them and made them servants to them. So now they could give them certain secrets and information about the empire. They weren't worried about the eunuchs taking the women in the harem, because that was another thing. They would have some eunuchs guard the harem of women, and they knew the eunuchs weren't going to be banging none of the women because he has nothing to bang them with. And they knew the eunuchs would not have any type of lineage. So if the eunuch did get any kind of power, they couldn't pass the power down. So they neutralized the eunuchs. The eunuchs were the perfect tools for some of these non-black empires. The eunuch was a perfect tool. And I want to know what's different with that today. They get black men, socially castrate them, buck break them, and they parade them around in elaborate, loud outfits. They bring them into the Hollywood circles. Billy Porter, they parade Billy Porter around everywhere. He's not some type of extraordinary actor, but they parade Billy Porter around everywhere. He's loud, he's flamboyant. Lil Nas X, they got him running around in cowboy hats, cowboy boots. He's a one-hit wonder, but they got him on Time Magazine. They're trying to create an image that the young black folks can aspire. Look, if you are buck broken, if you become a eunuch like this guy, we can give you some fame and riches and we'll be less racist towards you. We got modern day eunuchs out here. And these dudes know where their bread is buttered. They know the name of the game. In order to stay good with the dominant white society and be the eunuch for the day, they know they have to attack black society. I want to play a little clip of Billy Porter. Because notice how these people always attack black society. This is Billy Porter doing an interview the other day. Listen to this.
An address. Why does it matter? Any woman who puts on pants is considered strong because pants are associated with the patriarchy. It's like some sort of superiority complex. So a man puts on a dress and it's disgusting. So what you're saying is men are fabulous, women are disgusting. I'm not doing that anymore. I want to be a walking piece of political art when I show up. You know, just living inside of my truth publicly is a political act.
Living in his truth publicly is a political act. Yes, it is, Billy. And it's the white supremacist LGBT community orchestrating this political act and using you as a pawn.
I get that too. So to add the layer of fashion on top of it seemed like a no-brainer. You know, the most disappointing was the backlash from black people.
There we go. See, they know he knows where his bread is buttered. See, let me tell you something. When we see these folks out here paraded around being used as spectacles, because what these white supremacists do when they parade these folks around, they always get the black LGBT person and parade them around and make them look like clowns. They always parade them around and it's a circus type of thing. They always got it's buck breaking eunuch stuff. You got to dress them like a damn clown, parade them all around. It has to be over the top, gaudy, gratuitous, and it's a circus. You make them a spectacle. They do the same thing with that Lizzo chick. They got her. They turn her into a spectacle. You understand? And now he's taking shots at black society.
With the backlash from black people. That was worse than all of it. The vitriol. You know, like, I'm the cause of the emasculation of the black man.
Now that's a straw man argument he's doing. Nobody said that he was the cause of the emasculation of the black man. He really doesn't have an answer, and what he's doing is straw manning. He just makes up a fake argument. And black folks were really like, nigga, what you got on? Black people were being very honest. He's going out there with them clown outfits. These outfits look crazy. Has nothing to do with his sexuality. Nobody gives a shit about that. It's these cartoonish goofball outfits that you have on, and they're making you into a spectacle. So we see it. And see, this is the thing, Billy. The white people who are fake praising you, the problem, y'all be believing that shit. a lot of black folks, they get around white people who fake praise them. They act like you're doing something great. That's a trick that white supremacists do. They'll see you about to fall off. They see you making a spectacle of yourself, but they'll sit up and act like it's the greatest thing ever. That's a trick. They're funny style like that. You know, it's that backhanded compliment. That's just what they do. They always do stuff like that, like making the overweight black person the homecoming queen. They do little slick, passive-aggressive stuff like that. So if you go out there with a crazy, gaudy outfit, oh, my God, man, you're the best. Wow, you're the greatest, man. Man, you're going to really, really shine. You're the belle of the ball. I mean, they'll really pump your head up. And if you ain't got no game, you'll believe that stuff. And you sit up, your white people love me. It's the black folk. The black people, man, I don't know what's wrong with them. No, we're being honest with you, man. We see what they're doing to you, bro. We see what they're doing to you.
You know, like, I'm the cause of the emasculation of the black man. Well, okay. I didn't know that I had that much power. But now that I know I do, you can expect me to be wielding it every chance I get.
Oh.
You know, the whole fashion thing was something.
Oh, that's interesting. He said, well, if I got that power, I'm going to wield it every chance I get. Meaning, I'm going to go out there and keep on helping white folks attack you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to keep helping white people attack y'all niggas. Because I feel like an honorary white person right now. I came from obscurity to now I'm all over the place. If it's fake love, well, damn it, fake love is better than no love. That's off-code behavior. That is off-code behavior. And did y'all see Malik Yoba and these guys on The Breakfast Club today? It was Malik Yoba, a couple of transsexuals, and another gay dude. And I'm looking at some of the comments on the video and everybody's confused. Nobody knows what they're talking about. They were talking in circles. They were making up all of these sexuality terms. It seemed like they were making up some of this stuff as they were going along. They were talking all over the place. If you look at the comments, everybody is saying this stuff is contradictory. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. And let me tell you something. That's the purpose of it. The whole purpose of it is to be confusing. The purpose of it is to be 100% confusing. Because when it's confusing, you can dominate and control people, just like Neely Fuller said. It's not to bring any clarity to anything. The name of the game that the white supremacists are doing, they're trying to get us to not talk about reparations and anti-black racism. So to do that, just prioritize LGBT issues and talk about how homophobic black people are and make LGBT issues a priority in black society. And make the conversation keep going no matter how asinine or illogical the conversation is. Just keep the conversation going so we're not focusing on white supremacy. See, it's a confusion con game, family. And also, it serves many purposes. It's a buck-breaking conversation now. It's to get black people to go along with rape culture, because when people try to dominate you and inflict something on you against your will, that's called rape when they're doing it sexually. This is a mass buck breaking that they're trying to do. Let me play some clips from The Breakfast Club and let me show y'all what they were talking about. This is Malik Yoba talking. Hold on.
I said, so does that mean if we both love heterosexual women, does that mean I need to expand my definition of heterosexuality, or do I take on this new term? And so I'm not comfortable taking on a term of queer because I don't think there's anything queer about me. I live in a world.
It could be a political stance.
It's a political stance.
Yeah, but you like to lay it with dudes. You see, this is the little game they're playing. This is Malik Yoba talking about, well, you know, I'm laying up with men who claim to be women, but I don't want to call myself queer. See, they're playing these little games with themselves. And this is the trick bag. If we don't co-sign all of their asinine logic, then we're going to be attacked as a black community. See, this is the thing they're trying to push on, and none of it makes sense. But the thing is, they are backed by the white LGBT community and the white supremacist community. See, the white supremacist community is backing them up with all of this talk. So that's the trick bag right there. So we don't go along with it as a black community. Well, their white mommy and daddy will punish you for me because I'm the eunuch of the empire right now. So what I say, I'm the head nigga in charge right now. That's the attitude that a lot of them have right now. Hold on.
Political stance okay. as well.
So I consider myself a heterosexual male that loves women, period, end of story. I'm not attracted to the male aesthetic. I am not.
That's not true, because you are attracted to trans people, and they are men. They're born men. Now, there's two trans men here dressed like women. They're men. See, this is the thing. They're trying to do some I'm white and I say so, that biology doesn't mean anything. I'm white and I say this is a woman. No, it's not a woman. No, that's not a woman. If you were born, if you have a prostate, you're not a woman. If you can produce sperm cells, you're not a woman. You're a man. And I don't give a damn what you say. I'm not going to ignore science and biology. If you can produce sperm cells, you're a woman. I mean, you're a man. You're not a woman. You're not a woman.
Not attracted to men. And so that's where it gets very, very nuanced, I guess is the word, mm-hmm. right?
No,
and
but
so,
not really. Just period, yeah. full stop.
Yeah.
Period, full stop.
Sometimes mm-hmm. we make these things overcomplicated, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
okay, so this guy, what is this guy's name? John something. David Johns. He's part of some white LGBT nonprofit. They always get these black executive directors, but it's a white run organization.
I like strawberry ice cream. I know I don't like chocolate ice cream. I know I really like strawberry, not chocolate, because I've tried both, right? Like, what you're saying is I am a cisgendered, identify with the gender that a doctor signed, heterosexual, mm-hmm. I love women. Man, the comma is because we live in a world where trans people are racist, cis and trans. Mm-hmm. You are a black man who loves women of color, cis and trans.
Right.
Period, full stop.
Okay. Do y'all understand any of this? Did any of that make any sense? Did any of that make any? It did make sense, and it's not supposed to make sense. And the thing is, again, if black people say, hey, that don't make sense. Well, you homophobic. Oh, goddamn. White mama, white daddy, get him. See, that's the game they're playing. If we don't go along with this, white mommy and white daddy's going to come in and start depriving us of resources, denying us certain platforms. See, this is why they're pulling this garbage. It doesn't make any sense. And stop being afraid to say it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. What they're saying is contradictory, and it doesn't make sense. And if they want to do that, and you want to go with your folks, and y'all want to talk that nonsensical stuff, knock yourself out. I'm not going to be forced into going along with nonsense.
Can right. I ask a question? How do you determine between a fetish and an attraction? Because I'm sure there's people who have fetishes also, and I'm sure that has to be a whole nother category in life.
I can't
speak to that. So what I was talking about earlier about...
Okay, this is a trans man. I don't say trans woman. It's a trans man. And this dude, and I looked him, her up. He's from Jamaica. Nala Simone. I think that's the person's name. Nala Simone. He's like Jamaica. I saw on his page is Jamaican, Trinidad, flat. So this person ain't even a foundational black American, as we all know. I told y'all, the Rainbow Railroad brings these folks over here. Then there's another look like a Latino trans person. And then the black dude over here, I think he's a first or second gen immigrant himself, the gay dude. So
intent versus impact, right? So fetish comes is like when you only want to be with that person in the dark. Mm-hmm. You only want to be with that person sexually. You fetishizing them, right? Rather than being intentional and actually saying, who are you?
Right.
How can I get to know you? What are your ways of being? Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes, because, and I hate to say it, but it's facts, is that, you know, our community has this rhetoric that creates stigma for particularly men, particularly black men, who can't feel free enough mm-hmm. to okay. be able to their authentic self, to love inclusively, to love freely.
Okay, yeah. See, this the whole thing is all about attacking our community. You ain't our community, though. No. You're not our community. You're from Jamaica. You ain't saying nothing about, you can't do none of that in Jamaica. You're not talking about Jamaica in a disparaging way because, you know, they don't play that over in Jamaica. So how are you our community? You come over here and then all of a sudden you get to reprimand our community, and you come from a community that don't even play. You can't even get on the radio talking that, but you ain't saying nothing about that. You understand?
Oh. And so what then end up happening is that stigma promotes that fetishization, right? So I can't be seen with you because the hood gonna clown on me.
That's right. Or you were friends with Elin Nettles.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The hood just crowned. They killed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen.
They killed her.
Right? I see you shaking your head a lot, black trans women. Oh, go for
what
it,
were you Carmen. Saying? What were you thinking?
And let me say that thing where they talk about all the dangers that trans people have to go through, and trans people are being attacked, and trans people are being killed. They're being killed by other gay people. They always leave that out. They're making it seem like straight black folks are going around attacking. No, that's not true. They're getting attacked by people they're laying up with. They're getting attacked because they're sex workers, and their gay tricks are killing them and harming them and attacking them. That's LGBT on LGBT crime. And they somehow try to flip it and disparage black society and make us responsible for some shit that they're doing among themselves. Just like that dude they were parading around, the guy who killed himself because he was quote unquote being bullied about sleeping with trans, but he was abusive. This dude was beating up trans dudes. He was beating up his trans girlfriend slash boyfriend or whatever. He was beating them up, and then the trans left him. Then he killed himself. And they tried to flip it as if he was depressed because he got bullied. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's LGBT on LGBT crime. These are people who are within that community harming each other. Has nothing to do with straight black people.
I'm just listening.
Because
I want to know, like, okay, so for me, it doesn't make a man any different if, right. you know, he's heterosexual and he right. loves women and right. he's attracted to trans women. He's right. still the same person. I still see him as no different right. than any other man that loves women.
Now, is there a difference when it fully transitions, let's say, is that a different name that you call opposed to somebody, for instance?
And by the way, that guy from the is one of those guys from the Root, Terrell J. Starr. And we've known about this nigga's sexuality for years. He's always been, you know, funny. And he just came out talking about he's attracted to trans women. And, you know, the Root, we know they get down. So watch the wording with these guys. They're talking about they keep using the term women to get away from calling themselves gay. Watch that.
And I still see him as no different right. than any other man that loves women.
Now, is there a difference when it fully transitions, let's say, is that a different name that you call opposed to somebody, for instance?
I don't understand your question. You said fully transition.
I'm trying to say, I'm just going to ask a question. So when you're a man and you transition to a woman, right?
If she still had a penis.
This is problematic.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. See? And that's the thing. Everything is all about talking confusing. See, that's the same thing they did with Kevin Hart. When Kevin Hart was there with Lil Nas X, and Lil Nas X was like, yeah, you know, my sexuality. And Kevin, like, yeah, you gay. So what? Oh, Kevin, that's problematic. Oh, that's problematic, Kevin. Oh, and then they try to be fake outrage. So that, and while they're winking at white mommy, white daddy, it's like, oh, good, good, good. Now I'm going to be fake outraged so that now I can justify attacking black society, because black society ain't really tripping on it, but they got to find a way to justify attacking black society. So the minute you say, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. See, that's problematic right there. See, white mommy, white daddy, see how homophobic they are? White mommy, white daddy. If we ask a question, all of a sudden, white mommy, white daddy comes with all the resources to help you attack black society. But white mommy and white daddy ain't doing a damn thing to Ed Buck's ass with dead black bodies coming out of his house. White mommy and white daddy ain't helping your ass out with that. That's what I don't respect. I don't respect that part of the game. Y'all niggas are cowards for all this horse and pony show bullshit you pulling, but you ain't checking these white supremacists for protecting Ed Buck, and y'all running up in his house and y'all coming out dead, but you ain't saying nothing. See, that's cowardly to me. That's a coward move. Hold on.
Say it, but it's facts is that, you know, our community has this rhetoric that creates stigma for particularly men, particularly black men, who can't feel free enough to be able to their authentic self to love inclusively, to love freely. And so what then ends up happening is that stigma promotes that fetishization, right? So I can't be seen with you because the hood gonna clown on me.
That's right. Or you were friends with Elin Nettles.
Right.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
The hood didn't just crown. They killed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen.
They killed her.
Right? I see you shaking your head a lot, Carmen. Trans women,
go for what were you saying? What were you thinking?
Hmm? I'm just listening. Oh, no. I want to know, like, okay, so.
Let me fast forward.
For me.
Hold on. Somebody, for instance.
I don't understand your question. You said fully transition.
I'm trying to say, I'm just going to ask a question. So when you're a man and you transition to a woman, right?
If she still had a penis.
So this is problematic.
Yeah.
That is problematic because, again, transness has so little to do with otherwise male-determined genitalia.
Right.
We gotta get beyond being fascinated with people's dicks. Mm-hmm. Period. That's not what this is about. This conversation is...
No, bro. It ain't about being fascinated. I don't want a woman to have one. No, bro. See, this is rape talk. Just ignore dicks. No. Just ignore dicks. No. You worrying about this quote woman having a dick, that's problematic. See, this is where it's all about rape. This is rape talk. This is rape talk, man. This is rape talk. We're the only group of people, black people, we're told that we got to accept rape. Hold on.
Period. That's not what this is about. This conversation is about people.
Somebody, for instance.
I don't understand your question. You said fully transition.
I'm trying to say, I'm just going to ask a question. So when you're a man and you transition to a woman, right?
If she still had a penis.
So this is problematic.
Yeah.
That is problematic because, again, transness has so little to do with otherwise male-determined genitalia.
That's not true. If that was the case, why y'all keep getting on? Why are they getting operations and post-op and pre-op? Yeah, no, that's just not true. See, it's a contradiction. They're just making this stuff up. They're making stuff up as they go along.
Right.
We gotta get beyond being fascinated with people's dicks. Mm-hmm. Right. Period. That's not what this is about. This conversation is about people's spirits. Right. Making space for people and how they show up. It ain't got shit to do with what they got between their legs.
And also, too, it's...
Nigga, it does, fool. It does. It does have something to do with what you have between your legs. See, this is that pedophile talk. This is what they tell children when they want to molest them. It's just like being with a woman. Just let me do this. It's like being with a woman. It's pedophile talk. This is rape talk. This is dominating, buck-breaking talk. Yeah, it does matter what you have between your legs. If a person looks like a woman and a dude is trying to chop it up and then you go and try to be intimate with this person who you think is a woman and they pull a damn dick out on you, that's problematic. Yeah, that's problematic. Yeah. It's all about the spirit. No, but if you got a dick spirit, that's a problem. If I don't want that, what if I don't want that? What if I don't want to be raped by a nigga? Listen to what these people are trying to promote to us. We're the only people that they're promoting this garbage to. This is rape. Other people are told you have a choice sexually. Me too. Time's up. Everybody has a choice sexually about how you want people to approach you sexually. No means no. Every other group, you have a choice, and your choice is protected about what you want to do and not do sexually. But if we don't accept dick when we don't want it, then we're problematic, and we're a homophobic community, and we're a transphobic community, and we're problematic. Black folks, say no to that, and shame on the Democrats for pushing this. See, they're trying to bully us into going along with this. And shame on them. We should never, ever rock with these folks, the Democrats, for pushing this and trying to abuse us with this. This is insane. Let me see if there's some more I want y'all to hear.
It's like, I want to live in a safe place. If I want to go to Pergola or somewhere, you know, and I meet somebody, I don't want to be scared for my life. I should be able to say, hey, I'm trans at the bar, and not think any less of me.
Well, go to a bar where that goes down. Don't go somewhere and then whip your dick out on somebody without them knowing. Don't rape people. How hard is it to not rape somebody? Pulling your damn dick out when nobody knows you got a dick, that's rape, man. There's no other way around that. That is rape. That's buck breaking. This is an extension of buck breaking from the plantations. You're forcing yourselves sexually on us. Go somewhere where people get down like that. It ain't that hard to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's really what I feel like my place in this conversation, because I've met so many men, like, just dating throughout the years, and it's just annoying. And they can literally have the most love for you and want to marry you and take you away and all this, but they will deny themselves, and they will put
deny themselves of a rape. Listen to the language they're using. This is pedophile talk. Nobody should have dick when they don't want it. How about, I don't want dick? Ain't nothing wrong with not wanting a damn dick as a man. Damn. And y'all can miss me. Well, there's post-op and a lot of these folks are pre-op. They don't do anything to their genitals. A lot of them, because first, they can't, a lot of people can't afford those surgeries. Also, keeping their male genitalia, that's part of the fetish. That's what they tricks. They're tricks like that, because a lot of them are in the sex industry. So they're tricks like the genitalia. You understand? So there's dick in the mix. That's why he's talking about, oh, forget the, let's not focus on dick. People focus on dick too much. This is about the spirit. No, it ain't. I don't give a damn how good your spirit is. You can be the kindest person in the world. You can have the best spirit. You can go save puppies, wash ducks from the pond, feed the homeless. But if you pull your dick out on me, we got a problem. We got a problem. I don't want you to pull your dick out on me. I don't want to be raped. I don't want to be buck broken. And see, they're trying to break us to go along with that program. They're trying to break us as a community to go along with that program.
So much pressure on themselves, which just causes a wedge.
Well, can I ask Carmen and Nyla a question? Nyla, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And amongst men, like, whenever we see these transgender, you know, women getting killed, like, one thing that guys always say is like, oh, she must have slept with somebody and not told them. And I don't know if I agree with that, but what do you say to that?
Oftentimes, I feel like that is the rhetoric within our community, that there's a conversation about deception, because what you're saying is that someone didn't say, right?
Deceiving, right?
Right. Deception does not give anyone a pass for murder,
at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so oftentimes, and I'm going to keep it real, I don't have to deceive anyone for them to come into my bedroom. Get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Folks will willingly give their numbers. So I also want that to be clear. So I feel like it's a false narrative, right, that to soften the blunt, right, to justify.
Y'all can't rape folks. You can't rape people, dude. I'm sorry. They're trying to put sugar on shit. And that's enough of that I'm going to play. Let me put my Mac and music on. You can't be out here raping people. Doing something sexually to somebody or trying to do something sexually to somebody against their will is rape. That's all it is. That's another form of buck breaking. That's a form of buck breaking. And that is not cool. Another thing that I really don't like, because like I said, we got to understand who's behind this. The white supremacists are behind this. This is why they promote this very heavy. What they want is they want this to be prioritized. To not focus on anything else, but to prioritize this so that we can deflect away from racism. But another thing that I really don't like is this narrative that these dudes sleep with transsexuals and now they're going around saying that they're not queer or they're not gay, they're straight, but transsexuals are women too. Therefore, if I sleep with one and suck him up and suck him down, because spiritually that's a woman, even though you had his dick in your mouth, but spiritually that's a woman, and you didn't do anything gay because now we've redefined what a woman is, and that's a woman now. Let me tell you something. And when dudes go around talking about, well, I'm straight, after you done laid up with a bunch of men in dresses and wigs whose spirit was a woman but their dick was masculine, you go around talking about you straight and then you go try to date other women. See, that's very unfair to black women. See, I don't like that type of bullshit being brought to black women. See, that black women have it difficult enough, especially in the dating game and the relationship game. It's rough enough for sisters out here. Sisters don't need that fucking dynamic where dudes done got through sucking other women's dicks and now you talking about you straight and you going to a real woman now. And she don't know that you out here sucking women's dicks because you straight, right? And that was a woman's whose dick you sucked. So you're really straight. So you're not being deceptive when you get with a real woman and tell her that you're straight. And she says, have you ever been with a man? Oh no, I've never been with a man before. No, I've never been with a man. I promise you I ain't never been with a man. You see, that's the little game that they're trying to play now. Sisters deserve to know if a dude they're dealing with has been with a damn transsexual. A woman deserves to know that. See, this is the garbage that they're pushing on black society. We don't need this type of deception. Black women don't need that. That's going to cause more confusion, more deception that we don't need. And I think that's very disingenuous. And the fact that they're promoting that and pushing that, they know how detrimental that can be to black women as a community. See, the white community, the white supremacist community, they don't like black society and they get Negroes from other places who hate black society. And if they have sexual issues, they really hate black society and black women in particular. A lot of these Negroes from the LGBT community, they have mommy issues and they really don't like black women. They have a lot of vitriol towards black women. So this is right up their alley to be deceptive to sisters. That's why when they had Black Girls Rock, all of these trans dudes running around talking about, well, what about us? well, damn, we're trying to celebrate little black girls. Damn. Well, what about us? Shit. Fuck them little black girls. What about us? Prioritize us. Them little black girls ain't shit. Fuck them. They're going to be all right. What about prioritize us? We done put on a wig and a hat and all that. We need to be prioritized. What the fuck a black girls rock? What about black trans rock? See how selfish that is? Do we need that type of selfishness? That type of confusion? You understand? See, this thing is getting real heavy. And you have every right to reject that. They're trying to shame us into going along with deceptive practices, buck-breaking practices, anti-black practices, because all of it is seeped in anti-blackness. All of it is seeped in anti-blackness. All of it. This is racism in the highest form. Just because there's a black face on it, family, don't make it any less racist. And the thing is, in Hollywood, black folks gotta go along with it because they'll end your career the minute you oppose it. And if you're in Hollywood, if you have access to the Hollywood media, they've rigged it already. The minute you oppose it, they're gonna ruin your career. So they're dangling people's careers over their heads. So everybody's scared to say something. This is buck breaking, where if you don't go along with something, you're gonna be punished if you don't go along with it. See, the white supremacists, they try to play chess, and we got to play chess too. And we got a chess move for this. We got a chess move for this. Because they see us talking about reparations. They see us talking about ADOS, us talking about foundational black Americans, us talking about getting tangibles for ourselves. So they're like, we need something to undermine that and change the conversation in black society. We need to completely change the conversation. So we need to every day get them debating about LGBT and how homophobic black people are and all of these different cisgender, transgender, just have them talking in circles as long as they keep the focus off us and tangibles and white supremacy and getting justice. So family, this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do, we're going to put the focus, if they're going to parade gay black people around, we're going to use that to put the focus back on the white supremacists. I made a tweet earlier where we're going to start something, and I want y'all to use the hashtag called the Reparations Rainbow. We're going to start a hashtag and a movement that's an extension of Tangibles 2020. Called the Reparations Rainbow. So when you bring the black LGBT people out and talk about the things they go through, yes, they do go through things. And what we want the white LGBT community to use all the resources they gain by parading them around and making billions of dollars for these nonprofits. They get billions of dollars and they pocket the money. What we want from you white nonprofit organizations is for you to get a reparations package for LGBT black folks who are descendants of slaves and by extension their straight family. We need you to get reparations for them. We need the rainbow reparations. We need a reparations rainbow for these black folks who are LGBT, who are descendant from slaves, because they are still dealing with systematic racism. They have to work in the sex industry because they have no money. You have a lot of homeless LGBT black people. You have a lot of black LGBT people on drugs. So we need a reparations rainbow from the white corporations and all of these entities. Since you're parading them around and giving them a platform, okay, yes, you're right. They're being treated horribly, and you're going to help fix it. If you're going to parade them around, you're going to help fix it. If you're going to keep making money off of them, you're going to help bring money to them. And them specific. I ain't talking about a reparations package for the LGBT people of color. No. Descendants of black American slaves and their family who's straight. That means us. So you're going to break off bread for all of us. That's what we're going to bring to them. Anytime they bring black LGBT people out and talk about how homophobic we are, okay, well, okay, since we're homophobic, we've learned that from white society, so we need a reparations package to fix it. We need to fix it financially, and we need financial resources from you. So we're going to have you, we're going to prioritize the white LGBT community to give up that reparations package. Ellen, all of y'all, that's what we're going to do. Anytime they start talking about black LGBT and how they're doing bad and how this is messed up and that's messed up, that further means we need to get that reparations rainbow going. We need to get to the pot of gold at that rainbow. That's what we're going to prioritize anytime you use that against black society. We need that reparations rainbow. Y'all need to break bread too, LGBT community. We're going to do it just like First Them. Anytime they try to Me Too everybody, we're going to First Them the hell out of you. That's why you don't see Me Too being trended too much now, do you? Notice you don't see Me Too popping like it used to, because we were First Them in the hell out of them. If we're going to start talking about Me Too, what we're going to do, we're going to look at all of these First Them folks. You dig? They real quiet about Me Too. They don't like using Me Too. We put all the focus on all of these white predators. And now that forced the mainstream media to start exposing how these white women in Me Too were assisting the Harvey Weinsteins and all these other people against the women. They were working secretly to protect these white predators and throwing up smoke screens of black folks. So now they're admitting that they're doing this now. I mean, it's being exposed all the way around now. That's why we got to stay on their necks. We got to stay on their necks. We see that First Them, see Me Too, you know, it trended, you know, they hired people to make it pop off for a few days. And anytime there's a story that they want to promote, they'll hire their people to promote the Me Too whenever they're trying to get a case and sway public opinion. But see, First Them is every day. First Them is every day. You dig? So, again, anytime they try to batter us over the head talking about the black community and how we are towards LGBT, well, that means the rainbow, the reparations rainbow needs to pop off. You dig? Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen, to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I will holler at you guys this Sunday. Peace.